Bohr at Department of Energy's National Energy Technology Laboratory in Morgantown, West Virginia. This is the World Center for High Temperature Fuel Cells.
Dr. Mark Williams, a native of Randolph County, shows me around this large research campus. Here, 1,000 scientists and engineers have tested every solid oxide fuel cell in commercial production today.
It really sets the tone and pace for worldwide research in solid oxide fuel cells. It's been in Morgantown for over 50 years, and it's done a lot of energy research over that time frame.
And the 58-year-old has been associated with this lab for 30 of those 50 years. He's worked for the U.S. Department of Energy and private companies. Today he leads a team of energy engineers for the URS Corporation, a global engineering design firm.
I'm very grateful for having had the opportunity to work here at this premier lab and to be able to stay in West Virginia.
Today, fuel cells are at the cutting edge of efficient energy technology, but it was way back in the 1830s when they were first conceived.
A fuel cell is an electrochemical device that converts the chemical energy in compounds like hydrogen and oxygen to water electrochemically. It converts the energy in the chemical bonds and imparts that energy directly into the electrical current.
Fuel cells convert energy, but unlike batteries, they don't store energy. To show me why the development of fuel cells is so important to our global energy needs, Williams took me into NETL's exhibition hall, where there's a gigantic map of the world with lights on it.
It's lit up where there's light at night in the world. Of course, Eastern United States and West Coast and all of Europe, Asia, Japan and China, but a lot of places are really dark.
So we're using a big part of the energy here in the United States and in Europe.
They say the United States uses about 23% of the world's petroleum. And then within 5 or 10 years, China will use an equal amount, which begs the question, what's everyone else going to use?
Fuel cells?
Well, we're going to have to use energy more efficiently, I think. We're going to have to integrate our lifestyles with lower energy choices. Energy, it all comes from the sun. The light energy for 1 year equals all of the energy stored in the earth, in nuclear and coal and oil and gas. So in 1 year, the sun pours enough energy, as the equivalent energy down, as all the stored energy we have. And we're whipping through the stored energy. So we need to think of better ways to use what we have left and to look for alternative energy. We're now going to fuel cell laboratories here, test center and laboratory.
One way to make our limited energy resources go further is by using fuel cells. Here in Morgantown, all kinds and sizes are being tested. In one building that seems as large as an airplane hangar, they're testing giant fuel cell turbine hybrids.
If you combine a fuel cell with a turbine, you come up with a very high efficiency system, some of the highest efficiency systems ever conceived. If you put fuel cell turbines in a coal power plant instead of the combustor, you could end up with 60% efficiency system. By comparison, the electricity in large power plants, efficiency is around 35%. So that's a remarkable improvement.
In the decades to come, we're going to be seeing more of these in power plants across the United States and the world?
We hope so, yes.
The National Energy Technology Laboratory in Morgantown is leading the development of these giant fuel cell turbine hybrids. And it wouldn't be testing these systems if it weren't for Mark Williams, partly because Williams himself holds some of the patents for them. But there's more. Subhash Singhal, the director of fuel cells at the Pacific Northwest National Laboratory in Richland, Washington, credits Mark Williams' vision for all commercial fuel cell development today.
Mark had the vision that the high-temperature solid oxide fuel cells can one day be the source of electricity. Up until then, fuel cells were not commercial. But Mark had the vision to start a national program called the Solid State Energy Conversion Alliance, the so-called SECA program, within the Department of Energy. Up until then, there was no national program on these fuel cells. People don't realize how influential he has been for this fuel cell technology.
Since Mark Williams started the Solid Oxide Fuel Cell Program, he's written more than 200 articles, papers, and book chapters about their use. Worldwide, he consults with companies who are working on fuel cells. He also teaches at Tohoku University in Sendai, Japan, the University of Utah, and West Virginia University. All this has earned him a certain nickname around NETL.
I had been here for so long and had gone so many places and represented the Department of Energy in so many meetings around the world that I was eventually called Mr. Fuel Cell here.
Is there anybody that's working in fuel cells around the world today in a very serious way that you haven't met?
You know, the joke is I've met everybody who's ever worked on a fuel cell, but that's not quite true anymore. But I visited with the Department of Energy all the major developers of fuel cells in the world. We're heading up to Mill Creek, West Virginia. That's where I went to grade school. We're going to go up the Tiger River. We're going to follow the Tiger River. It's a wonderful stream. We're going to stop a little bit north of Valley Bend, and then there's a traditional swimming hole here in the Tiger River.
Every evening in the summer, Mark's father used to pick up the local newspaper, then take his six sons to swim in the river. The experience gave Mark a lifelong love of exploring West Virginia woods and streams.
We would swim and fish, and it was part of our everyday existence. It's a side stream. I love going up these streams. It's like an exploration. You never know what you'll find, waterfalls and native trout, and just beautiful to go up these side streams up into the hills. West Virginia is one of the best-kept secrets. I hope this broadcast doesn't go too far. Here we go. We're crossing the Tiger into the town of Mill Creek.
After a brief stop at the white frame building, which was once Mill Creek Grade School, which Mark attended, we head for the center of town, population 644.
We're now in a parking lot at the post office and library in Mill Creek, West Virginia. This was the site of my boyhood home, now demolished. Here we had a lot of memories growing up. My father was a subsistence farmer. He was able to do all kinds of things. He was a cobbler. He was a miner. He was a butcher. He knew how to raise a garden and preserve foods. He knew all those skills. My mother was Polish. My grandparents, our parents, immigrated from Poland first into Pennsylvania, and then they decided to go into West Virginia. Basically, I guess, following the coal. We weren't rich, but if we were poor, we didn't know it.
I'm Marianne Durland. I am a cousin of Mark's. Our mothers were sisters, and I've known Mark, of course, all my life because we had huge family reunions and picnics down on my grandmother's farm. One of the things I remember about Mark is just that he was a really cute little kid, and I always felt like he had this little twinkle eye, just kind of this little orneriness about him, you know, which was kind of sweet. His mother was a fantastic cook. She was unbelievably good. She really, I think, is responsible for the success of all those boys. I mean, she insisted that they were going to go to college.
You are now one of the world's leading authorities on fuel cells. Being here where we are in the Tiger Valley, can you see a link from your beginnings here to where you have traveled to now?
The link is probably my mother, especially my mother and my mother's people, who supported children, encouraged them, wanted things for their children.
Just before Mark entered high school, his father took a mining job in Nicholas County and moved the family to Richwood, where Mark took a new interest in mathematics. In 1970, he graduated valedictorian from Richwood High School. Williams earned bachelor's and master's degrees in engineering at West Virginia University, and through the encouragement of a professor there, went on to earn a Ph.D. from the University of California, Berkeley. After a time in military intelligence and working in the oil business, Mark Williams returned to Morgantown to the National Energy Technology Laboratory.
I want to show you some little fuel cells.
Back at NETL, Mark Williams takes me to another test stand.
Looks like a computer almost.
Yes, so this is a high-temperature fuel cell. It's ceramic and very portable. They're being developed for every conceivable application, from pacemakers, heart pacemakers, to 5-megawatt natural gas power plants. So any size in between for any application, for trucks, for houses, hospitals, cars. They even have been fuel cell planes.
And what would this fuel cell run?
A fuel cell that size would run, almost run your house, I imagine.
This little thing could run my house?
Yeah, I mean, it depends on the fuel cell and depends on the fuel. I mean, 3 to 5 kilowatts is your house, so it's not very much.
So we're really looking at the future of energy right here in this lab.
Absolutely, absolutely.
In the future, fuel cells could be as common as computers or smartphones are today. And when it comes to vital data backup systems, Research Director Subhash Singhal reminds us that the efficient, reliable energy of the future is already here.
There are high-temperature fuel cells working at companies like Google, eBay, Adobe Systems, Walmart, FedEx, providing power to the data centers. People cannot live without electricity like the data centers for the Google search. That basic technology came because of his vision, his initiative, and his scientific and technical work.
Despite all these accomplishments, Terry Martz, Vice President and General Manager of URS Corporation, and Mark Williams' current boss, believes his most significant contribution to fuel cell technology is yet to come.
I actually think the most important contribution to fuel cell technology is going to be his teaching and mentoring others, because this technology will continue to move way into the future, and we now need to train up the future minds to be able to carry on this work, to be able to understand the questions yet to be answered, and to be able to mentor and encourage people to go solve those very complex problems. And I believe that that's Mark's contribution that's going to be the most lasting.
One man's vision is changing the world we live in. And the work of Mr. Fuel Cell started and carries on in his beloved West Virginia.
There's something about West Virginia, it's hard to put my finger on it, but there's a lack of formality. Maybe it's the land, maybe it's the rivers. It belongs to us. The land, the rivers, maybe that's what West Virginia is.
For West Virginia Public Broadcasting, I'm Jean Snedeker.